As Mike mentioned, this study is part of a larger study. George reported on some earlier results related to best management practices. What I want to do is I want to focus on adoption of Roundup Ready cotton with and without residual herbicide in the program and talk a little bit about some benefit estimates we've derived from this study. Again, I want to acknowledge my co-authors. George Frisvold has worked with me on this paper and this research, as has Paul Mitchell. And again, the reason why you're seeing some Big Ten folks down south is this was a broader project where we just didn't look at cotton, but we also looked at corn and soybean. And so Paul and I have kind of taken the lead on corn and soybean, while George has kind of taken the lead on cotton. To start out with some motivation, biotech crop adoption in the past decade has been pretty remarkable. Last year, 80% of corn acreage was biotech, 86% of cotton, and 92% of corn or soybean acreage was biotech, and that's either herbicide tolerant or insect resistant traits. This really suggests that growers see its substantial value in these crops. And if you go and you look at the literature, for the most part, the literature supports that hypothesis. There are a couple studies that go counter to that, but not too many. And another thing that the literature points to is that the benefits to these crops are not just pecuniary, financial in nature, there are also these non-pecuniary benefits, for instance, increased safety or increased flexibility. So one of the questions we're interested in here is, how big are these benefits? And there's been some effort to measure these for various crops in the past. Another question that is of interest is, are these benefits sustainable? And in terms of insect tolerant or insecticide resistance traits, there's been some work on this, but in terms of the herbicide tolerance traits, there hasn't been as much work on asking the questions, are these benefits sustainable? And what's the question of sustainability with Roundup Ready crops? One of the questions, or the crops we focus on, are herbicide tolerant Roundup Ready crops. They're the most widely adopted herbicide tolerant crops. And as most of you probably know, they allow you to use glyphosate on the crop to manage weeds. Now, a potential problem with Roundup Ready crops is glyphosate resistant weeds. And there is some now evidence out there. Here's a map of some counties that have been identified as having resistant weeds. And this poses a possible challenge to the sustainability of the benefits of the Roundup Ready weed management system. So the purpose of the study was to explore how adoption of the Roundup Ready is affected by weed resistance concerns, glyphosate resistance, the adoption of weed best management practices, the ones that George talked about earlier, with an emphasis on residual herbicide applications, and also to look at the pecuniary and non-pecuniary factors that affect Roundup Ready adoption in cotton. Finally, we're interested in trying to assess what is the benefit to growers of this Roundup Ready program with and without a residual herbicide, taking into account all the pecuniary and non-pecuniary benefits together. Now, to accomplish this, the data we used is a telephone survey. We had 401 cotton growers surveyed in the states I showed earlier. That's 12 different states. Produced 298 usable surveys for this analysis that I'll talk about today. The survey was done November to December 2007. This data was supplemented with USDA county crop data for acreage. We were more interested in the yields, however. And then there was also some glyphosate-resistant weeds by county data provided by Monsanto. An overview of the survey instrument. We asked growers about just general questions about themselves, age, education, about their operation, how many acres did they operate, did they raise livestock, 2007 production practices, how often they adopted various 10 different weed best management practices, factors that they felt influenced their choice of herbicides and weed management program. There were 13 different factors, pecuniary and non-pecuniary factors that we looked at. We asked them about their 2008 production plans in terms of total cotton acreage, Roundup Ready acreage, and how much of that acreage they'd treat with a residual herbicide. We then asked them how those plans might change if Roundup Ready seed price changed, or if we saw an increase in the cost of a residual herbicide application. The final thing we asked was about what they felt were their biggest weed management concerns, and this was an open-ended question. Nowhere on the survey did we mention resistance. Our empirical strategy was to estimate a demand for Roundup Ready acres with residual herbicide, and Roundup Ready acres with residual herbicide. Following Terry's lead this morning, I'm going to ask, how many of you know what a demand curve is? Has everybody seen a demand curve? All right, so it seems like a pretty familiar concept for people. All right, statistical issues. There were a couple statistical issues with estimating this demand curve. One was we had some highly correlated variables. We dealt with that using a principal components transformation. The other thing is we had censoring and cross-equation correlation. Censoring in the sense that some farmers said all their cotton was going to be Roundup Ready, and they were going to treat all that Roundup Ready cotton with a residual herbicide. Some said they're going to have 100% Roundup Ready and treat none of it with residual herbicide. So we had to account for these kind of full adoption or full non-adoption. And so we needed a censoring model. And we needed to take into account that we're estimating two demand equations at once. This is actually pretty easy to do with SAS's QLIM procedure, which is what we used. Once we had these demand estimates, we calculated the consumer surplus from these demands. Consumer surplus is a way of measuring benefits to the growers of using these crops, and it captures all the pecuniary and non-pecuniary benefits in that estimate. These were calculated using Monte Carlo simulation package, Palisade at Risk, which is an add-on to Excel. Results. On average, our respondents plan to plant 930 acres of cotton. 855, or 92% of those acres, were intended to be Roundup Ready. 588, or about 69% of those acres, were intended to be treated with a residual herbicide. That's the Roundup Ready acreage. Resistance concerns. Over half the growers expressed concerns about weed resistance. And this was completely unprompted. This is where we asked them, what are your biggest concerns? And over half of them said something about weed resistance in those concerns. 16% of our respondents came from counties where there's confirmed glyphosate-resistant weeds. And then 12%, the average percentage of counties with glyphosate resistance in a respondent's crop reporting district was about 12%, and pretty highly variable. In terms of results for resistance and resistance concerns, what we found is weed resistance concerns did not affect Roundup Ready acreage plans with or without a residual herbicide. So even though farmers were concerned about weed resistance, it wasn't affecting how much acreage they planned to plant with Roundup Ready. More Roundup Ready acres were planned for counties with confirmed glyphosate resistance. Growers in regions with more widespread glyphosate resistance planned to plant more acres with a residual and fewer acres without a residual. Turning to our weed BMPs, growers who scout before, scout after, control earlier, buy new seed, and use recommended rates more frequently reported or plan to plant more Roundup Ready acres, while those who clean their equipment more frequently or use supplemental tillage for weed control plan to plant significantly fewer acres. Those who scout before and after and buy new seed more frequently plan to plant more acres without a residual. Those who prevent weed escapes and use multiple herbicides more frequently plan to plant significantly fewer acres without a residual. Those who prevent escapes and use multiple herbicides more frequently plan to plant more Roundup Ready acres with a residual. Those who scout after herbicide application and buy new seed more frequently plan to plant fewer acres with a residual. The one BMP that we asked about that didn't seem to affect grower plans, was starting with a clean field using a burn down treatment or tillage. In terms of non-pecuniary and pecuniary factors that might affect Roundup Ready acreage plans, growers who said having a clean field, family health, or water quality were relatively more important to them plan to plant more Roundup Ready acres. Those who said costs, yield loss, and public health were relatively more important to them plan to plant fewer Roundup Ready acres. Those who said crop safety and the time it takes to apply herbicides were more important, plan to plant more acres without a residual herbicide. Those who said costs, yield loss, and wildlife quality were relatively more important, plan to plant fewer acres without a residual herbicide. Those who said yield loss, family health, and water quality, or wildlife quality, were more important, plan to plant more with a residual herbicide. And those who said crop safety was relatively more important, plan to plant less. Factors that we asked about that didn't seem to have an influence on Roundup Ready acreage plans were consistency of the herbicide, application frequency, flexibility, and importance of soil erosion, controlling soil erosion. So, using these demand estimates, we can estimate the consumer surplus and come up with a benefit to the farmers or to the growers. For the Roundup Ready crop, taking it all together, the benefit estimate we come up with is $7.69 an acre, with a confidence interval from $6.92 to $8.71. If we just look at the acreage without a residual herbicide, the estimate is $11.68 an acre. If we look at it with a residual herbicide, the estimate is $6.39 an acre. To wrap up, our results suggest that there's still substantial benefits to the Roundup Ready program, even after 10 years in the field and some emerging evidence of glyphosate resistance. As others have found, we find these benefits are both pecuniary and non-pecuniary, and that the adoption of weed best management practices does have an effect on these benefits. Residual herbicide use with the Roundup Ready program appears to be related to lower benefits. Weed resistance concerns do not appear to be affecting the use of the Roundup Ready program. However, residual herbicide use with the Roundup Ready program is more common in regions with more widespread glyphosate resistance. So in terms of the farmers not really responding to the concerns may be a little worrisome, but the fact that when they know they have it, they are, you know, some of them are, a lot of them are doing something about it using the residual herbicide is good news. These results also suggest that to some extent farmers may view the benefits of weed resistance management as kind of a public good. And if this is the case, it might make sense to provide additional incentives for them to do more to manage glyphosate resistance. Just to offer some acknowledgments, this project was supported by the Arizona, Minnesota, and Wisconsin Experiment Stations and by Monsanto. We'd also like to thank Michelle and John for their help, as well as others at Monsanto. Of course, all remaining errors and conclusions are the authors.
We've got a little time if there's a question or two, a couple minutes.
Yes.
Did you account for the number of Roundup applications?
This will account for our methodology does account for the number.
Did you survey that and look at how that might change if someone applies Roundup once versus 2%?
Our production plan data, did we ask how many applications? I think we did in our production, you know, what you did last year data may have that information.
Yeah. Basically, we have to ask the question about what do you do this year? We have that. This is what
we do. So the survey was kind of in two parts. What did you do in your field in 2007? And then what are your plans in 2008? The information we collected for 2007 was very detailed. We asked them, you know, what herbicides did you apply, at what rates, and how often. But that information isn't incorporated into our benefit estimates.
See where I'm coming from?
What's that?
Where the surplus benefits you calculate might be different for somebody who only applied Roundup once.
No, that's right. That's right. So there's going to be variation, but that variation will be built into the estimate. So the question is, can we sort that out? And with the data we have, I can't sort out how the benefit differs as a function of the number of Roundup applications.
And this is all prior to Prescott.
What's that?
The survey was done prior to the adoption of Prescott.
It was done in 2008, or 2000, yeah, 2007, late 2007.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.